भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई एम रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत मधुलीला चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 72। कृष्ण नाम निरंतर याहार बदने से वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भज ताहार चरणे। कृष्ण नाम निरंतर याहार बदने से वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भज ताहार चरणे। कृष्ण नाम निरंतर याहार बदने से वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भज ताहार चरणे।
वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भजो ताहार चरणे।
वैष्णव श्रेष्ठ भज ताहार चरणे।
माताजी Krishna Naam, the holy name of Krishna, Nirantar, incessantly, Yahara, whose, Vadane, in the mouth, say, such a person, Vaishnava Shrestha, first class Vaishnava, Bhaja, worship Tahara Charane, his lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy names, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyam Bhagavat, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee or an ordinary person should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat, who is via media. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Pranatabhischa bhajatam isham, bhajantam isham. This means that Madhyam Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy to be here amongst all the wonderful devotees of Rishi Radha Kunj Bihari Mandir and Radhashyam Prabhu has very kindly given me this opportunity to exchange some thoughts with all of you. So this is a very important verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, and Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in this, person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Krishna nama nirantara yahara vadane. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport, in the second part of the purport, mentions very nice meanings for this word nirantara. So when we first come to the Krishna consciousness movement and we take to the process of chanting, so initially it is the chanting which gradually purifies us and elevates us. And then in due course of time it is the same chanting of Hare Krishna which will always elevate us and take us to the highest platform. So we have to remain connected with the process of this chanting. So whatever it takes to keep us chant Hare Krishna, we should remain fixed in this, resolve in this principle. So very nice meanings Prabhupada gives in this purport on what is nirantara. So he says the word antar has six meanings. So the first meaning of antar, he says, is interval. So therefore nirantar means without cessation, continuously, constantly, with no other desire, like that. It is called nirantara. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asks a question, if Krishna is all attractive, why we do not find Krishna so attractive? Krishna is all attractive, but although Krishna is all attractive, we do not find that all attractive potency of Krishna. And he says the reason is that first of all, it is the principle of magnet not being attracted to a piece of wood. And secondly, he says that because of the proximity to Maya, Krishna is very far away and Maya is right next to us. So it is much easier for us to look at Maya than at Krishna. So when something is very close, naturally our connection with that is much faster than with something which is far away. And therefore we find Maya more attractive than Krishna. Like that. Just like I was telling this story, I came in April, right? When did I come last? Radhashyam Prabhu? When did I come? April, May? Yeah. So I was telling you how Srila Prabhupada during his travels was continuously preaching. And along with preaching, he was also training his devotees in the principles of Krishna consciousness. So this principle of training is very important, because unless one gets trained in the principles of bhakti, one cannot distinguish between what is the reality and what is illusion. So Prabhupada was taking a massage, and there was one of his servants who was massaging him. And as the servant was massaging Srila Prabhupada, there was one mirror nearby. And as he was massaging Srila Prabhupada, suddenly his eyes fell on that mirror. And then he started looking into the mirror, into his own form, as he was massaging, was looking how his, you know, beautiful clothes are and how he is appearing. And Prabhupada is, you know, sleeping practically with his eyes down. And this brahmachari was looking into the mirror and doing all kinds of things to see what are the different permutations and combinations which can manifest. And then he is thinking that Prabhupada is not seeing, but Prabhupada was looking with one eye and seeing this whole thing, what's happening. So that is the meaning of proximity. If something is very close, then you tend to get attracted. And then this happened for some time, and Prabhupada would appear to keep his eyes closed, and when he would look there, Prabhupada would also open his eyes and see. And then after some time, one sannyasi entered to talk to Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada now decided to begin, because Prabhupada was waiting for an audience to begin the show. So Prabhupada turned to this devotee and said, what do you find very attractive? So he said, Krishna. He says, what you were doing then? So Prabhupada said that if you are so infatuated, then you will not be able to appreciate the beauty and the presence of Krishna. So if you are practicing Krishna consciousness, the first principle I am saying is, I am not this body. And you are going out of your way to be absorbed in this principle. And when Prabhupada first came to America, and he was speaking to all the hippies who were assembled there, I am not this body, I am this soul. Many of them thought Prabhupada is referring to himself. That he is not the body. But we are definitely the body. Because the absorption in sense gratification is so deep-rooted. So Prabhupada, when he came to Laguna Beach, he was speaking a Sunday feast. And as he was giving the Sunday class, he saw all different types of people who had assembled there. If you are sitting for a Sunday class in America in one of the Sunday feasts, you get confused what topic to speak. Because you will find all different categories of people. So Prabhupada saw there were people from the streets, people who were drugged, people who were educated, they were aristocratic Indians. All different varieties of people were there. And Laguna Beach temple is right on the, you know, beach. And you see the Panchatattva deities on the back side of the songbook. Those Panchatattva deities are in that temple. And it's a beautiful location. It's right next to the beach. You sit in the temple, and if you're looking at the deities and look on the right side, you can actually see the beach. It's just like 5 minutes walk from the temple. So that's one reason why there are no brahmacharis there also. Because the place is so good. It is so attractive. You know, many times they had instances of devotees going out for Harinam Sankirtan into the beach and only half the party came back. Others found the ocean too attractive and the beach, and they were lost there. So Prabhupada was sitting there, and of course now there is a beautiful temple, and we have only one brahmachari, Dayal Gauranga Prabhu, and he's practically, he's the pujari, he's the cook, he's the deity cook, he's the temple commander, he's the temple president, all in one. According to the need, he will manifest. You know? So Prabhupada was sitting there, and all these devotees, all these different guests and different categories of people came. And Prabhupada chanted Radha Madhava, opened his eyes. And Prabhupada looked towards all of these people, and Prabhupada said that Krishna's lotus feet are very, very large. They can accommodate all types of people. So therefore, one should not think that Krishna consciousness is meant only for a certain category, a certain class. Anyone can take to Krishna consciousness. And we find that Prabhupada made that possible. Before Srila Prabhupada, nobody thought that it is for everyone and anyone. Mostly people thought it is only for those from Bengal. And especially Gaudiya Math, it spread practically all over Bengal and Orissa. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he would travel from train from Calcutta to Puri, he would take the Puri Express overnight journey. And practically during that journey, he would bring people on the verge of initiation when he would simply meet them. Every station, all through the night, he would be standing at the door. Every station, there would be disciples who would come to greet him with garlands and everything. And they would be shouting, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And so you can't sleep there. So he would come out on the door of the train and he would give an impromptu darshan and class, and the whole station would be filled with disciples in that city. And then engine driver and guard would also come to hear. And invariably the train would be late. That was how powerful his preaching was, that all through the journey he would be preaching. During one of the journey, he found that one brahmachari was, you know, lying like this on the compartment, on one of the seats against the wall, leaning against the wall. Saraswati Thakur came and said, you should get married. And he said, why? Because you are taking support against the wall. That means you need some support. That means you want to be grihastha. Immediately all brahmacharis were and for the next 4 months you couldn't find anyone near a wall. So Saraswati Thakur was extremely, you know, not only preaching but also continuously monitoring, and he was very, very expert at organizing the preaching mission, and he was the first person who actually organized the whole Gaudiya Math into Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihasthas, printing press, and all of this. There was no organized Brahmacharya Ashram before Saraswati Thakur came. And sometimes parents of brahmacharis would come and Saraswati Thakur would ask them, hide under the cot, you know, or do this or do that. And things which had never been done before. And so at that time, all over India, there were so many people. It seems at one point of time, there were more than 200 sannyasis in the Gaudiya Math. And that was the first time that someone organized the mission like that, into the Brahmacharya Ashram, Grihasthas, Sannyasis, and all of them were totally dedicated to Saraswati Thakur. And then Srila Prabhupada took this legacy forward and spread all over the world. And therefore, through Srila Prabhupada's teachings and through his preaching, everyone got this opportunity to actually fight against the material energy by taking shelter of Krishna. So when the word antar is used, antar means interval. And interval means that all of us take, Maya forces us to take breaks. Right? That's called interval. Antar means interval. Like in any movie, there is an interval. Because you can't take it continuously. You're head becomes hot. The movie comes at a price. The price is headache. But because you have paid so much money for that, when you come out, you say, wow, it was great. This time the headache was less than last time. So you have to take an interval. So similarly in Krishna consciousness also, many times we feel that, okay, my morning slot is for Krishna. And now I have to take an interval. I have to take a break. And therefore, let me do some other activity which is not so Krishna conscious, so that there is balance. Too much of Krishna consciousness also makes you too much, you know, focused into all these activities, and then gradually it becomes too difficult to have balance in life. So therefore, Maya forces us to take these breaks. And we become attracted and enchanted in that. So in Antar means that we take breaks from activities in Krishna consciousness, and the breaks may not be physical, but it begins with mental. So the mind goes away. Then once the mind goes, then gradually the senses also follow. And in due course of time you realize that I am not continuously in the mode of being fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's a very common principle which we find when we are practicing devotional service. But we should know that Maya Devi is doing her service. Right? Her service is not to allow those who are disqualified from entering into the spiritual world. Is it not? Just like many times people have to do certain service. Like during yatra, we have people standing at the gate asking for coupons. So they are not enemies. Or they are not, you know, some kind of non-devotees. They are also devotees and they are also Vaishnavas. They are also gentle, but they have been asked not to be gentle there. So at the gate they will ask for coupon, prasadam coupon. So if you don't have prasadam coupon, that means you can't really say whether this person is bona fide or not. Prasad is for everyone, but we are cooking only for a specific number of people and only those who are authorized should enter. So therefore for that, then you are standing and you are asking people, where is your coupon? If you don't have coupon, please go away. So therefore, that is their service. Right? And if there is no one to do that service, then a whole crowd of people will enter. And then everyone will have, and then so many others who are supposed to have won't get that. So they are doing that duty. So like that, Maya Devi is standing at the gate and not allowing unauthorized entry, gate crashers into Vaikuntha. Because Vaikuntha, spiritual world, Goloka is a very intense place where there is nirantara seva, continuous service, and there is continuous absorption. And therefore Maya Devi has to make sure that the mood in the spiritual world is not disturbed. So just imagine at our current state in Krishna consciousness, when we become absorbed for a few hours, after that we feel tired and we want to go and take a break and take rest and do something else. So in such a state, if by mistake we enter into spiritual world and then we are told that now start doing this service. What is your service? Keep making garland for Radharani and Krishna. You hand it over to Sakhis and they will give to Krishna. Okay. First question we'll ask is how long? How long I have to do this service? And they say, rest of eternity. I said, my God, excuse me? Come again, please? Eternity? That means how many hours? Hours? How many yugas? The whole frame of discussion is different. Said, okay, it's becoming too much. When is the first prasad break? Prasad break? Nothing like that. See this mountain of flowers? This is the first mountain you have to make. That is the second mountain. This whole range of mountains of flowers, it's all yours. Immediately, we'll come back in the next return Vaikuntha flight back to the back to Pune. Play Baba, that is too much. So are we ready for continuous service, continuous absorption? So therefore Maya Devi has to make sure that only when someone is really in that platform of continuously thinking about Krishna and not even an iota of thought about himself, no selfishness, no desire for sense gratification, then only that person can enter. So therefore she is doing her duty. So therefore this principle is very important of understanding what exactly this nirantara means. Antar means gap and nirantara means without cessation. So the first meaning of this nirantara is no interval, continuous chanting. Krishna Nama Nirantara Yahara Vadane. I remember when I was preaching in IIT, then Devamrita Prabhu, one time he was speaking about the Jagai and Madhai Leela. And Jagai and Madhai Leela is very famous Leela, you know. And when I first heard the Leela, I was so excited. I said, wow, this is the secret of preaching in IIT. That catch someone like Jagai and Madhai, make them devotee, finished. Whole hostel will become devotee. You don't have to worry about it. This is the secret. So immediately I went to one of my friends, you know, before coming to Hare Krishna. And he was like a total addicted drunkard, you know. So just like we have our 16 rounds, he would have his 16 pegs. And he would begin very early. He would finish his rounds pretty early. And you can always find him in state of intoxication. You could never find him in normal state. So I thought, if this person becomes devotee, whole hostel will become devotee, and then news will spread all over IIT, and whole IIT will become devotee. So I don't know why they are talking about preaching and strategy and this and that. This is simplest method. So I went to him and said, his name was Nath. I said, hey Nath, you have to come with me to program. I said, which program? I said, Bhagavad Gita lecture on this Saturday. It's very important for you. You should come with me. First question he asked me, are you drunk? Said, why? You know whom you are talking to? Me? Coming for a Gita lecture? What happened to you? You don't know my reputation? You don't know my activities? I said, hey, even Valmiki was like that before, you know. And I gave so many examples. Don't worry, there is a turning point for everyone in his life. You just come. He said, well, there is only one condition I will come, that I have to bring my bottle with me. I cannot stay in separation from this bottle. I was confused because I knew it is not right to go into a satsang with this. But also I felt that he has to be exposed to devotees, and I felt somehow if he meets devotees, then he may change. And I didn't want to consult also, call the temple and ask, can I bring my friend who will bring a bottle of liquor with him for the program? It looked pretty strange. So I said, okay, let me take risk. Preaching means taking risks. So you just come with me. So I took that risk, and he actually came with me, and he was already in state of intoxication by then. And he took the bottle, it was a bottle of quarter of vodka in the back side of his pocket, and he came. And as he was about to enter the room, I said, at least don't bring the bottle inside, keep it outside on this ledge on the window, you know. It will be here only, outside. He said, the Hare Krishnas won't take it, no? I said, come on, they don't take even tea and coffee. What to speak of this? Well, you never know, you know. I heard dham, marodham and so many things. So he was so attached, he was simply thinking about that. So he kept it there, he entered inside. I said, one more thing, don't open your mouth because the smell will come. He said, I will answer all your questions, whatever questions. So Devamrita Prabhu saw that, okay, there was one extra and a new face. It was summertime, not many people were there. And so many weeks, only 3-4 people were coming, so one fifth man came. So seeing that he was excited, before beginning the program, he said, what's your name? I said, Ashish Nath. And he was looking at me, I'm asking him, he's answering. He said, which badge? I said, fourth year chemical engineering. So he was confused. Then I said, he's a little shy, you know. There is an answer. So then he began the class. And then in the middle of the class, you know, this Nath was poking me in my ribs and saying, when is your grand lunch, which you promised? I said, some more time, just wait. And then at least 5-6 times he asked, when is he going to stop? When is he going to stop? Then he couldn't resist. He went out, finished the remaining liquor, and then came in. So at the end of the program, after the prasad, Devamrita Prabhu said, you are interested in taking this mala? He said, yes. So he took the mala. He took the mala, went to the hostel, with mala in one hand, bottle of liquor in another hand. He was telling the whole hostel, I have become Hare Krishna. I have joined ISKCON. And then for 1 week, I was chasing him, trying to get the mala back. And he wouldn't give it back to me. And in that meantime, the whole hostel was making such fun of me, that this is what Hare Krishna is teaching. So he neither chanted, nor he made an attempt, and he just simply could not take to this process. So I had my good intentions that I have to make him devotee. But you should know that anyone who takes to the process of chanting means it is very rare. It is very rare. And we should not take it for granted that we have come to the Hare Krishna movement and started chanting Hare Krishna. It is only after many, many lifetimes of Sukriti that this has been possible. Like another group of people in Hostel 7, and Radhashyam Prabhu also knows that Ramakrishna and a few other people, of course Radhashyam Prabhu's name was also Ramakrishna. There was one more Ramakrishna and few other, all group from Telugu, you know, Andhra Pradesh, Hostel 7. They were in Shuddha Sattva. That means you could not move them beyond one round. They were Dhrida Vrata, determined not to chant more than one round. You know, that was their vow, fixed vow. And we had a system that whoever would chant one round at least, I would go in the evenings and give prasad. So they were on the list. They were on the donor list. So then I had to go to their room and I would request them at least chant four rounds. They said yes. And next day, how many rounds? One round. So no movement at all. You know, just constantly fixed at that. So they had tested my patience like anything. I'd given up on them. And recently when I was in Laguna Beach, I saw this gentleman and he was jumping in the kirtan up and down. And he was trying to get my attention. I thought he looked familiar. And then after the program, he came to me and said, remember me? I said, who? I said, Ramakrishna, Hostel 7, 1992. Used to come to give prasad. I said, yeah, I think I remember. I said, one round I used to chant. I said, yes, of course. You are the bunch of guys who gave me realizations in preaching. And he says, now my name is Sakya Premdas. I'm initiated. I said, my God, how did that happen? He said, all of you used to tell me that material life is miserable. And I always used to think because that they have not gone to America, so they are saying it is miserable. India may be miserable. America is wonderful. So I came to America, did my MS. And when I did my MS, I realized it is little miserable. And then I went for my PhD. Then I realized it looks quite miserable. Then I started doing a job. Then I found it too much miserable. Then I got married. Then I got whole realization. Everything culminated. And then I thought, everything I wanted I have. I have nice job, wife, nice children. Everything is there. Whatever I look for, I'm making good money. But still there is emptiness. And still I'm not getting what I look for. Satisfaction from within. Then I thought, okay, what these fellows were saying in 1992, maybe there is some truth. So I started coming to the temple, got associated with devotees, and just a few months back he got initiated. So 1992, he used to eat prasad. 2007 he got initiated. Sometimes prasad takes 15 years to digest. So do not expect that people will immediately become inspired in Krishna consciousness. So he was here, he got some little association, but then ultimately he got connected there. So if someone becomes very fired up and becomes a devotee here, that's great. Even if he doesn't, that little bit exposure will actually connect him in due course of time somewhere else, in some other part of the world. So therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us that mission, that you spread this knowledge. He has given us these books, and during marathon, when you see You try to distribute these books, it's so difficult. Especially in Bombay, every day I go and stand at the Dadar station. Dadar station is like a tsunami, you know, people coming and going. And you stand there with this Gita, and people just pass by you, and pass through you, pass on top of you, pass under you, but they won't stop and look. They won't even look at you. So you feel like statue of Shivaji Maharaj standing there. Nobody's looking. And you have their microphone at the top of your voice, people are shouting, screaming, doing all kinds of things. But only some person will just come and, you know, have a look and try to buy. Out of 1 million people who are passing by, hardly a few. Our everyday sale is like 300, 400 Gitas. And how many people are moving by that platform? So therefore you can see that very few fortunate souls actually get connected with Krishna consciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna Nama Nirantara, that incessant chanting of holy names, that means incessant absorption, total absorption in Krishna consciousness, is very, very difficult because Maya Devi is very close and she is constantly disturbing us. Like that. Just like you are trying to hear the Bhagavatam class, but if someone is, you know, sitting right next to you and is talking on a cell phone, so that disturbs you because he's so close. And that sound is affecting this sound which is coming. And therefore the proximity to Maya creates that impediment, that difficulty. So this is a very, very nice, wonderful purport. Like Srila Prabhupada was in one place in India and he was talking to a life member. And this life member was arguing with Srila Prabhupada about how the Vedas, the Upanishads, are all speaking about philosophy. And he didn't believe in the loud chanting of the holy names. And Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to spread loud chanting of Hare Krishna. He said, no, Swamiji, no loud chanting. I do not believe in this loud chanting. So many great scholars, and he listed a whole, you know, list of so many thinkers and scholars from India. Philosophy doesn't speak about loud chanting. You should only chant mentally. So he's going on into this, chant mentally, chant mentally. Finally, Prabhupada, he lost his patience, and Prabhupada said, okay, bring some prasad. And he distributed prasad. And Prabhupada said, don't give it to this man. He said, why? He will eat mentally. And Prabhupada said, the acharyas have given this method of loud chanting, knowing our capacity in this Kali Yuga. And therefore one should not think that we know more than the great acharyas as to what is the right method for salvation in this age. Therefore the mind is filled with so many thoughts and so many conditionings, right? So it is not that all of us, as soon as we came out of the womb of our mothers, we started chanting Hare Krishna. So we have gone through so many experiences, all those impressions are there. And when we chant loudly, continuously, and when we are chanting 16 rounds and performing our services, then gradually the mind becomes purified. So therefore the loud chanting is recommended. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this principle is important. Like when I was giving a discourse at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and I was going through the corridors seeing what's happening, and there was one poster. And that was advertising for some research on sleeping pill. So they wanted to do some research on sleeping pill, and the advertisement said, wanted a person to come and sleep in our lab. His job description is he has to come at 9 p.m., sleep till 6 a.m. And they'll put all kinds of machines on him while he's sleeping. And then if he does this, you know, 8-9 hours of sleeping business, he'll be paid $7,500 per month. Almost 2.5 to 3 lakh rupees for what? Sleeping. Good bargain. So some of you may be in some software jobs and doing other kinds of things. So you may think, well, yeah, what is going on? So 3 lakhs only for sleeping. And you know the amazing thing? They couldn't find anyone for 6 months. Why? Because people would come and see the ad and say, oh, that's the time my party begins at 9 p.m. You can't expect me to come and sleep then. And there were others who were interested to come to sleep, but they couldn't sleep because they were used to sleeping only with pills. So they were lying there 2-3 hours and the scientist is telling, sleep now. I'm trying. What to do? Unless he sleeps, the research can't begin. So those who volunteered couldn't sleep. Those who could sleep, they were out on parties. So finally one Indian, you know, from Bombay, he had taken a big loan for education. He came and he saw that and his eyes popped up. Ooh. $7,500 for sleeping. He immediately came and said, don't worry, I can sleep all day and night. You can extend till 6 p.m. also, no problem. Pay me another $1,000 more. So they were saying that these are the kind of research were going on. How to make people sleep. Right? You can try Hare Krishna also. So that is our biggest problem, that Hare Krishna is supposed to awaken our consciousness. But when we take to the process of Krishna consciousness, then if we do inattentive chanting, then inattentive chanting will lead to sleep. And inattentive hearing will also lead to sleep. So, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, all these influences come, and Jadya and all of these Vikshepa and all of these principles he explains, which we discuss in our Holy Name seminars, they're very important to understand, because if we don't hear attentively, then gradually we will be overwhelmed by the influence of other modes, and that's very important to understand. Just like in one of my lectures, I was speaking and one gentleman sitting right in front, he gradually started sleeping. You know, as soon as Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, he closed his eyes. He never opened after that. And he went on going down, you know, from straight angle he was sitting, and gradually he fell completely. As Sudama Prabhu says, namaz position. And he was right, practically on the ground only. And not only that, all the people around, they were looking at him. Because anyway, to find attention in hearing is very difficult. Any distraction you find, everyone's eyes goes there only. So not only he was sleeping, 3-4 other people were also having nice darshan. And some of them were also thinking, poor guy, I am hearing better than him. At least I am awake. So I just spoke some story and everyone started laughing. He got up. It was like an alarm clock. He got up and then he also started laughing without knowing why everyone is laughing. And then as soon as everyone stopped laughing, he stopped and again went back to sleep. After the class, I just told him that if you're really tired, just take rest and come. Otherwise, you're taking a few other people along with you in this whole process. So we find that the simplest activities in Krishna consciousness, we find very difficult to follow over a period of time. Therefore, Prabhupada said, a classic statement of Prabhupada, those who are noting down, please note this down. Krishna consciousness is simple but not easy. Krishna consciousness is simple but not easy. Because it is simple, it is not easy. Because we are used to complex things now. Complex thinking. Right? So therefore, if we say that we have to be simple, If you make a statement like that, we find it too simple. So for that, then we need to make a PowerPoint presentation. How to become simple? And then when simplicity is presented in a form of very complex presentation, very nice seminar. This is very good. Very, very methodical and very nice seminar on how things should be simple. How to become detached from technology? That we can only understand when there is a PowerPoint presentation. And says, this makes sense. We have to become detached from technology. So therefore, because we have become conditioned like that, so Srila Prabhupada has also presented Krishna consciousness in a way where those in Kali Yuga can get connected with it in this manner, like that. So, just like one of the devotees was cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada started eating and he ate a few samosas, and this devotee felt that Prabhupada liked my cooking so much. Right in front of my eyes he has eaten so many samosas. So she asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, who's your favorite cook?" And she was waiting for the answer, hoping, quite confident what the answer will be. Prabhupada said, "Myself. When I cook myself, I like that best." And immediately she became very humble. And Prabhupada, he was engaging devotees in different activities and different services, like cooking, you know, managing, artwork, and training them in how to apply one's skills in Krishna's service. And at the same time, he was also making sure that they do not become proud, they do not become attached, and they still have that mood of humility when they're performing all these activities. So therefore, antar, or the gap, is created, because when we perform a service, then after that we start thinking that, yes, I'm responsible for doing this. And then that creates a gap. And we cannot continuously think of Krishna. And we cannot see that as Krishna's hand. And so it is very important that the right mood should be adopted while performing the service. We have the right attitude that this is for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. So that's an important activity. So therefore, when Lord Brahmaji is glorifying Krishna, after being bewildered, he's saying, "Koveti bhuman bhagavan paratman yogeshwarotir bhavatas trilokyam. Kova kathamva kadiva kadeti vistarayan kridasi yogamaya." So Brahmaji is now realizing that I am insignificant, Krishna is all powerful. Krishna is all powerful, Brahmaji realizes, after making the mistake. So someone like Brahma, who has glorified Krishna in the second canto, in the third canto, saying that you are responsible for everything, I am simply an instrument. Even Brahmaji forgets, is put into that illusion. And therefore each one of us also, in our own limited way, get trapped now and then by these kind of thoughts. And therefore this acts as impediments in our process of Krishna consciousness. So this is another way in which we can understand this interval, antar, like that. So this is the first meaning of the word antar, Krishna nama nirantara, like that. So what should we do? It's 9:25. When does your class end? Can continue tomorrow. So we'll continue with other meanings tomorrow. Tomorrow evening also we have a class, right? So we can continue this morning and evening. Anyone has any questions, please?
You said about these intervals. Interval in our Krishna consciousness. So how to reduce that? How we can work upon them?
Well, you take shelter of Radhesham Prabhu and tell him to engage in service, so he'll make sure that you'll have nirantar service. That I can guarantee. Or whoever is appointed authority overseeing your activities.
But Prabhuji, physically we may be doing service, but mentally we are not in the service.
Like Gargamuni Prabhu came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I don't feel like offering obeisances. I will only offer obeisances when I feel like. Prabhupada said, keep offering obeisances, feeling will come later. So therefore, between body and mind, so in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains that the order in which things can be engaged is body, words, and then mind. So it is easier to engage the body. Then once the body is engaged, then gradually the tongue can also be engaged in speaking about Krishna. Then once both body and tongue are engaged, then absorption comes in the mind also. Sachinandan Maharaj asked Radhanath Maharaj once, if you want to summarize Krishna consciousness in one word, if you want to give summary, what is Krishna consciousness? Answer in one word. So what did Radhanath Maharaj give reply? He said, absorption. Absorption. So therefore you have to become absorbed. And because it is not so easy to engage the mind, so you have to keep the body engaged in different ways. You have to take responsibility, keep the intelligence engaged. So all of us have an intelligence. So that has to be engaged. And that comes when you take responsibility. When you take serious responsibility, then automatically you are forced to be engaged. So therefore, the body means, okay, you're engaging in a certain way. But then when you take responsibility, that, okay, I will distribute 1,000 books. You come in front of the deities and say, my dear Radha Kunj Bihari, I hereby take a vow in the month of December, I will distribute 1,008 Mahabig books. Go and do that. And then see how absorption comes. Right? If you have made that announcement, immediately you start thinking, abhi kaise karna hai? Right? So even when you are cutting vegetables, your mind is absorbed. So there are four types of dhyan in Nectar of Devotion. First is Nama Dhyan, second is Rupa Dhyan, third is Leela Dhyan, and fourth is Seva Dhyan. So Srila Prabhupada has given our 24 hours in ISKCON in such a breakup that at some point of another, you have to be caught in one of these four. And when you are not caught in one of these four, that is called absorption in Maya. That is the antar. That all these four have not been able to engage you. Then you have really taken Maya's instructions very seriously. Like that. So you begin with, you know, the darshan opens in the morning, you know, and then you chant your rounds, so that is Nama Dhyan. And then after Nama Dhyan, there is Darshanarthi, you take Rupa Dhyan. Then you sit and hear class, there is Leela Dhyan. And then, there is Seva Dhyan. But our problem is because we are so flickering, we mix up our dhyans. When we are doing Nama Dhyan, we are thinking, how I am going to do this seva? So much service is there, how will I do? And then during service you are thinking, four rounds are remaining. So you are doing Nama Dhyan during seva. And you are doing Seva Dhyan during Nama. And during Rupa Dhyan you are thinking, who is giving class? Should I sit for class or should I finish this service? What should I do? So we are all mixed up. So therefore, the process is perfect, but our planning and organization of our own daily life in Krishna consciousness is many times pretty imperfect. And therefore we do not get the full benefit of this process. So one of the most important things which devotees fail to realize is proper planning and organizing of their own personal lives, of the 24 hours in Krishna's service, and then plan accordingly. So therefore, why don't you remain engaged in a certain, like for example, you're a student, so you take responsibility, okay, I will bring so many people, cultivate so many people, so that becomes part of your dhyan. Okay, so you can't say that next 1 hour I will sit, close my eyes and think of how Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. I will meditate on this pastime. So you close your eyes, you begin, it will go for some time, right? And then you will fall like Yamalarjun. Sleep will overcome and dhad. And then you cannot continue with that kind of dhyan. So therefore you have to be engaged in some active service where your mind and intelligence is absorbed. Prabhupada said, devotees are walking and they were walking next to the ocean. And one devotee looked at the ocean and said, Prabhupada, the ocean looks so attractive. Prabhupada said, yes, Maya is also like that. Maya is also like ocean, looks attractive from a distance. The ocean looks attractive from a distance. When you enter into the ocean, then the ocean will start showing its real power. Start sucking you in. And then you can't come out. Right? All of you have experienced in Jagannath Puri. The ocean is so powerful. The waves look so attractive. You get enticed, go in, they just pull you in. So many of our powerful swimmers got trapped. You know, one of our devotees, like Devanand Pandit Prabhu, he's a powerful swimmer from the Navy, spent 20 years in the Navy. He went swimming and we were telling him, hey, don't go so far. I'm 20 years experience in swimming. What is this? Nothing. And he went. And then the current started dragging gradually. And he realized what's happening. A 20 years experience can't help. And then he was actually being taken away. But somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, some other wave came and hit him back onto the shore. And he fell back on the shore. And all of us knew, we were seeing, his face was in panic. And when he came back, we said, what happened? Nothing. I just went. Just a good swim. I said, but we thought you were being drunk. No. I was just going. No problem. Ocean is very deadly. Another of our brahmacharis in Jew, he was Gaur Jagannath, now he's in Jew. Gaur Jagannath Prabhu. He was told 10 times, don't go beyond this point. No, don't worry. I will take care. And he went so deep, he was being dragged by the ocean. And the lifeguards had to jump in. So lifeguards jumped in, swam, caught him back, brought him out, and pushed the water out of his stomach. So much of water came out. And then when he regained his consciousness, the lifeguards asked for some bakshish. Bolo, jaan bacha hai, paisa do. Bolo, took out 150 rupees and gave. Bolo, itna kyun? Bolo, in that discover yourself, it is said, cost of the body is 150 rupees. Hey, kam se kam 500 rupees, bolo, nahi. Hamare book mein diya hai. Shareer ka keemat 150 rupees. And we said, Mama, you are about to lose your life. We have saved your life. He says, no. So he was using, it is called using Shastra to your advantage whenever you want. So So the ocean is very powerful. So it looks very attractive, but you try to swim for a long time. Like that Maya also looks very attractive from a distance. But you get entangled, you get trapped, you get sucked in. Like that. Any other question? Yeah. Anyone? Yeah. Somebody should decide who will ask the question.
Hare Krishna Puji, thank you for a wonderful class. Puji, often devotees ask this question about taste.
No.
Like amongst themselves, they discuss that you have so much higher taste. Yeah.
Taste.
Okay. So, what is exactly taste? Because how we can understand this? Because Nirantar platform is like a 24 hours, like a pure devotee platform, and there are 9 stages of bhakti, and in that ruchi and all those things come. So, many times amongst devotees, they always discuss, you know, how to get a taste. So, how to understand this?
Taste means, like Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, in the very beginning, he explains what is rasa. That we all of us experience a certain kind of flavor in any activity. So that's what is called rasa or taste. So anyone wants to be inspired in any activity, he needs to have that taste. Otherwise he can't do anything. Like some students get taste in studying, someone gets in playing. Doing different activities, one needs some flavor. So like that in Krishna consciousness also, all of us are getting some flavor in doing different activities. That's why we are doing these things. Is it not? You have not been forced to come to Hare Krishna and stay here. You have not been threatened. Right? You didn't get death threats. Come to temple. Otherwise, you will see. Did you get any threats like that? Nor you are being paid every day on a daily basis. So today you chanted 16 rounds, okay, your 100 rupees. So you are not being paid, you are not being threatened, you are not bound to stay here and chant holy name and practice these principles. But what makes you voluntarily take to this process and do all these things? So you are getting some taste. So because you are getting this taste for such a long time, so you don't even realize that this is the taste. So taste doesn't mean that suddenly you will see some spark coming from somewhere and you jump and then you think, oh, today I got taste. It is a continuous process which is happening. That's why you are here. So you are still staying. So that flavor Krishna is releasing and you are experiencing, that is the taste which keeps you going in Krishna consciousness. Right? Although you have opportunity for illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, you are not doing it. That is proof that you have taste. Right? Otherwise, who can stop you? Right? Like in our London temple, Soho Street, Radha Londoneshwar, it is in such a degraded Street, Soho Square, Oxford Street. It is so degraded. All kinds of activities happen all through the night. People are screaming in the night, ambulances and fire brigades, police sirens. It's so much of sinful activity in that locality. But we have one of the best Brahmacharya ashrams in the Western world there. Jayanithai Prabhu is now the temple president. I think he has come here also, Jayanithai Prabhu. And he is leading a group of more than 15 to 20 brahmacharis, which is like a big number. And they are surrounded by all kinds of sinful, you know, activities. So what makes them, you know, follow all these principles in such a state? You're getting a taste. When you go out to distribute books, so you're surrounded by all kinds of attractions. But somehow, because you are absorbed in the Sankirtan, in that wave, so there is a kavach and you're not affected. So you can feel that kavach, that protection of Lord Chaitanya when you go out in the mission. Right? So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells the Kurma Brahman, Kabuna badhive tomar vishe taranga punarapi eithani pabe mora sanga. If you are constantly absorbed in this process of Krishna consciousness and taking risks to spread the glories of Krishna, kabuna badhive tomar. Do not think you'll be affected. You'll be protected. My protection is there. Punarapi eithani pabe mora sanga. In due course of time, you'll again regain my association. Like that. So therefore, you're very, very fortunate to get this process. So right now we are used to it. But just imagine the first day you heard the kirtans and tasted the prasad, and you know, even the first time we tasted prasadam halwa, that was like chappan bhog. It was so attractive. Initially that halwa is it is carrying us a different taste altogether because it is prasad. So from where that flavor is coming? Krishna. So you go to Holy Dham. Have you ever visited any place like Mayapur? And the experience you get when you visit Mayapur, it's not a mundane experience. It is a place where Krishna has performed pastimes, and so there is a certain vibration. If you go to America, you go to West, many places, everything will be very nicely organized. Externally, everything will look great. There will not be any room for any complaint about anything. But the mind will be agitated like anything. The mind is agitated because the vibrations are filled with rajogun. There is no reason for feeling agitated, for feeling impatient, for feeling anxiety. But because it's there in the ether, it affects you. Just like they exploded a bomb in Hiroshima ages back, you know, in 45. But still those kids who are born there many times are affected, and they are affected with various defects because the vibrations are there, the radioactive vibrations. So like that, any sinful activities have been performed in a place, those vibrations are carried. Similarly, spiritual activities also, the vibrations are carried. Just like when a bus party was distributing books and they set up a stall somewhere in Nasik, and on the table one gunda came, like a very notorious gunda of that area, and he came straight, and there was one of our devotees who was in the army for many years, and he straight came and caught his collar and said, "Kiska pooch ke laga hai? Ye mera area hai. This is my area. You cannot put a book table here. You can't sell things here." And he started shaking him, catching his, you know, kurta. And he thought he's just like a, you know, simple brahmachari, and I can just bully him. He didn't know that this fellow was in the army for so long. And he pushed him around like this. And this devotee tolerated for some time, and then tada, gave one slap to him. And he was so shocked, receiving slap from a sadhu in saffron clothes, and he gave him a slap. It was so shocking, he just retreated and went away. And all the other brahmacharis were scared, and he told this devotee, "Arey yaar, aisa tumne kyun kar diya? Tu bahut bada gunda hai, marega humko. Tum to fauji hai, hum to mauji hai. Hamara kya hoga? Wo pura gang leke aayega, peet dega. Aisa nahi karna chahiye tha. Ha? Trinadapi suni chine, tarorapi saishu. Itna sunke bhi, control nahi, kuch nahi. Man kiya, seedha jhapad laga diya." So all of them got scared, what will happen. So he said, "Arey, don't worry. Krishna, name bhakta pranashyati. Kuch nahi hoga. Arey, kuch bhi kya, aake humara gala pakad liya. Hum bhi nahi chhodenge. Unko humne shiksha de di." So next day, that gunda came with a group of 5-6 people. They all came towards this book table. And all the other brahmacharis ran into the bus. And the driver was ready to go, to leave. And this fellow was still standing at the table, the one who had given us lap. And he was ready to, he was like Kshatriya type, so he was ready to face. And this whole gang came. And as soon as he came, this gunda looked into the eyes of this brahmachari. And he said, Kal aapne jo kiya, mujhe yaad hai. Acha, aur kya karu? And this gunda took out money from his pocket. Che Gita de do. And all the other brahmacharis were in the bus. They came out running. Ah, Gita, Gita, haan, lije, lije, lije. So one can't use this as a standard book distribution technique. But it worked in one place. And we can see that when Prabhupada's books are sold, they are sold in so many unique situations, in so many different ways. People get attracted and they buy. So all of you have that opportunity. I think many of you are participating in the marathon. Huh? All of you are participating in the marathon. So go out and distribute these books as much as possible. Help the conditioned souls. Change the course of their lives. You know, they're all on a Pune, Bombay speedway, expressway. But that expressway is going towards hell. So they're all in their Mercedes Benz, seat belts buckled, can't get out. Their foot on the accelerator, full speed, straight, going into the doors of hell. They're determined to go also. Not only determined, they're racing with each other. Who will enter first? Who will go into hell first? They are competing to outdo each other, to enter into hell. So as devotees, you have to stand like traffic policemen with a stop sign. Please stop. Take U-turn. So therefore, Prabhupada's books are like the stop sign. Make them stop, apply the brakes, help them take a U-turn in their lives. And gradually their lives will change and they will become devotees. So I think I'll stop here. I have other meetings to also conduct today. Srila Prabhupada ki itai gop premanande.
Hare Krishna. So there is prasadam for all.